Disc.
Hey, have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
All right, 3:03 in the afternoon, Felger Mass here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, FM dial in Boston. We simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Catch us anytime on the app, 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Go to your app store and download the app to your phone. The stream comes right up. You can also get us on the replays. If you miss anything, just catch up that night or the next morning, and you're all set. Before I go back to the phones, again, more on the Patriots, how this team is different, and that is... To me, we complain about the defense and we talk about the defense and all of that, but is the defense really any different, Anthony? Is it? I mean, isn't it the same crappy defense they've always had?
Well, look, so we've used this stat. We've used it over the years. And Kerry Byrne of Cold Hard Football Facts came up with this statistic called passer rating differential. Okay, and it's very the simple explanation of it is it's the net value of how you pass, the efficiency with which you pass the ball, minus how you defend it. Okay, it's really about how well you pass versus how well you defend the pass.
And historically, it is an excellent indicator of championship medal.
Now, according to Kerry, typically the Super Bowl winner ends up in the top five almost every year. Okay, almost every year. And the Patriots are often up there, as you can imagine, because their offense is so good that their passer rating, their passing offense is rated very, very high. And their passing defense varies from year to year. And overall, the net value of that is very good. Okay. The last time I checked this year, they were barely in the top 10, which for them is low. Okay, which for them is low. So we figured, okay, we would go ahead and look at the passer rating numbers offensively and defensively to try to get a gauge on where they have slipped the most. So back to you.
Okay, so defensive passer rating has been, as you said, pretty middling and, you know, generally not great. But, you know, for example, we'll go back to 2009. Because Maz did the research, so might as well. Starting 2009, here's where they have ranked in defensive passer rating. Okay? Defensive passer rating. So the opposing quarterback's passer rating. They were 13th best in 09, 13th in 2010. They were 20th in 2011, and they went all the way to the Super Bowl. They were 17th in 2012. They were 9th in 2013. They were 10th in 2014 when they won it all. They were 13th the next year. When they lost the AFC title game in Denver. They were 8th in 2016 when they won the Super Bowl. They were 17th last year when they lost the Super Bowl, and they are now currently 8th. So again, 13th, 13th, 20th, 17th, 9th, 10th, 13th, 8th, 17th, 8th. They're usually middle of the pack to creeping around the top 10. Basically, finishing 8th is a good number for them. That's comparatively speaking. That's as low as they go.
I was just saying the last 10 years, that's the highest they've ranked.
That's the best thing they've ranked since 2009, going back to 2009. I mean, and that's where we stopped. So we don't even know what they were in 08 or 07. So that's as well as they've ranked defensively in a decade, which is a way to say the defense is the same as it's always been, if not a little better, really.
In the last 10 years, right. If we're grading this Patriot defense against those in the last 10 years, it's actually okay. It's actually pretty good. I mean, compare again. In passer rating defense, they've never ranked higher than where they are right now in the last 10 years.
Which is surprising because some of these games this year have been absolute dumpster fires.
Stunning, right? Stunning, Murray.
Chicago, Kansas City, second half of Indy. I mean, it's just been like a fire drill.
Okay. So defensively, same old story. Maybe even a little better. Offensive passer rating. I'll just start in 2014. Ranking offensive passer rating. Fifth, fourth, second. Second this year, 15th. This year, 15th.
It's a huge drop. Huge. And the irony, too, is that it's getting easier and easier to throw the ball.
It's never been easier to throw, and it's dropped. You're now middle of the pack in offensive passer rating, which matches your defensive pass. For the first time, when's the last time this happened with the Patriots, that their defensive passer rating was higher than their offensive passer rating? That they get their gap from their defense, not their offense. Their offensive passer rating, middle of the pack. Middle of the pack. After the last 5 years, finishing fifth, fourth, second, and second. I'll also give you 2009 through 2012.
This is where it gets good.
8th, 1st, 3rd, 7th. They've been a top 10 offensive passer rating consistently for a decade, except for this year and 2013, they had an offensive passer rating of 87.3, which ranked 15th in the National Football League. What did they do that next year at the draft, Maz?
Murray, I'm going to give you the conclusion of this experiment as it pertains to the offensive passer rating. The Patriots, listen closely, the Patriots have not ranked this low in offensive passer ratings since 2013 when they decided they needed a new quarterback.
That's one way of looking at it, Matt. Sure.
They went out and drafted Jimmy G. That's when Belichick stood there and said, given the quarterback's age and contract situation, the last time they were this inefficient in offensive passer rating was that after that season they drafted Garoppolo. Because Belichick was so concerned about the direction of the passing game that he drafted a new quarterback. I'm just giving you the facts, Murray. That's all I'm doing.
In 2013, Brady was also surrounded by a lot of crap, too, but fine.
Oh, here we go. So whenever it's...
Well, he was. Kemble Tompkins sucks. Dobson sucked. Gronk hurt that year. Danny Amendola playing with a torn groin, but go ahead. Oh, I don't know.
Is it just possible he played poorly that year? And is it possible he's playing poorly now?
Yeah, no, I'm open to that.
I mean,
because he is playing poorly.
He plays
right now.
Poorly. Everyone wants to point to offensive line or his weapons. Now his age, or he must be hurt. What if he's just not playing well? What if he's just not playing well?
I mean, it was hard to watch this game in Tennessee and conclude that it was just the weapons. Really?
No, because guys were open. It was Brady. That started with Brady on Sunday. He was trash.
He was. When you go back and look at some of those plays, the way he spun out of those throws and just flipped some of the balls out of bounds, or that is either just him not caring and out of frustration where he says, screw it, or he just not seeing things right, or a combination of both. Because it feels to me like he's not seeing it like he used to.
How's that for a switch? In this passer rating differential, incredibly crucial stat. The defense is leading the offense. Think of that.
Scary. With this team, it's scary.
Let me just see. When's the last time the defense was ranked higher than the offense in defensive passer? I have it right in front of me. In 2013 was the last time that the defense ranked ahead of the offense in offensive passer rating, and that was the year Bill went and drafted a quarterback. Every other year, of course, you get that differential from the offense, not the other way around. So that's where you are this year. Back to your phones, as promised. Tom in Taunton on Tom Brady. Go ahead, Tom.
Ding, ding, ding. Felga, I hate you more than anything in this world, but you are 100% right. It's not Brady's arm. It's not that he's hurt. It's not his age. Miserable Maz, ding, ding, ding. I hate you even more than anything in this world, but you are also right. It's Tom not caring. He doesn't care about... I don't know what it is. Is it him trying to rub it in Bill's face or what? I don't understand. He's never had the weapons, and he's always been the great. We've always – oh, what an ass clown, first of all, saying, what did he say? He said, everything's changing around here except for the quarterback. What a clown.
So, again, a little strong. He still cares. Does he care like he used to?
Well, so that's, you know, it's a relative term.
So we're talking degrees.
He doesn't care as much.
We're talking degrees. If you want to tell me he doesn't care as much, I don't know how you could possibly argue with me on that. Now, maybe he's right not to care as much. Maybe he's gotten to a certain age, and he says, you know what? I want to spend more time with my family. And maybe that's the right thing to do. I'm not calling him a bad person. I'm just saying, when you spend more time with the family, you spend less time at work. There is no parallel universe where you can create more hours in the day.
I mean, you don't even have to make the argument, Mike. He himself admitted it in his stupid documentary thing last year when he said, what are we doing this for? Why am I putting in this time? And he's questioning his whole commitment level.
So, people misconstrue what I'm saying. Like, I'm saying he doesn't work hard anymore. No, he works hard.
He's just not maniacal like he was 5-6 years ago.
Does he work as hard? And I'm not telling you he doesn't care. Of course he cares. Does he care as much? Lives it, breathes it, eats it, sleeps it, craps it, lives and dies with everything. Do you think he does it, Or is this a different deal now? Namaste or whatever the hell. And now family is important, which makes him a good person. But probably a worse football player. That's just like, to me, that's where it is. That's where it is.
Oh, the coach must love that, too. He must love that.
Joe in Medford. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, again, same as the last caller. I usually eat your take on the Patriots, but my God, you guys are totally right. Totally not the defense. We know what the defense is every year. It's going to be middle of the pack every year, which is funny when the offense is playing great, but I can't remember the last time I saw Brady play so bad. He sucked in Tennessee.
Okay, Joe, your phone's bad. I'm just going to let you go. The defense sucks, and we can spend time on this, and we can talk about why can't they figure it out on that side of the ball. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways to go with that. Bill hasn't drafted well or spent bad money, or it's impossible to be a good defense in the league now. No one has a good defense. Like, there's a lot of ways to go with that. All I know is it's really no different. It's really no different. They've had that kind of caliber of defense, I'd say, for the last decade with a few aberrational years. I think 2014 with Revis and Browner. And all those draft picks really in their prime, the draft picks meaning Chandler Jones, Hightower, Collins, those guys. Like, I thought the 14 defense personnel-wise was good, was really good. Other than that, 2011, 2013, this year, last year, it's all sort of the same sort of crappy defense. It's the same. Maybe even a little better if you want to argue it. And I even think the weaponry's the same. Guys are in, guys are hurt, guys are in or out. There's a new face here, there's a new face there. They've dealt with all this stuff before. What's different?
Oh, the passing game, really. The drop in the passing game is indisputable. There's just really, it's indisputable.
So, and we say, what's different with Brady? You can say he's a year older. But I don't think that accounts for the full gap. He's dropped from 1 to 15, call it. I mean, he was the MVP last year, for crying out loud.
He was, yep.
Now he's right in the middle of the pack. So he's dropped from 1 to 15. I think age drops you from 1 to 5. Call it. Right? If everything else is equal, age drops you a few notches. And that's year to year. How do you account for dropping 1 to 15? That's the question. All of a sudden, year after year after year after year, they're the best team in the league at diagnosing the blitz and defeating the blitz. Now they're the worst.
He's gone from high society to Tannehill Town.
So, just FYI, I'm not telling you he's done.
So, the blitz is a good one.
I think he's far from done. I think he's got a lot of good football left if he got back to being the same maniacal nut that he's always been.
Yeah, that's a hard switch to turn on again.
Well, we'll see about that.
He's got to tell his family to screw. Just say it, Felger.
I ain't no Rob Barker. You got to tell your family. If you want to devote yourself fully to your work, yes, you have to give on the family side. There's just no way around it. You can't create extra hours. There's only 24 in the day. They won't give you 25 or 26. So something has to give. That's the trade-off.
He tried asking.
Shot down. More on this in your calls right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Third down.
Coming again.
And 9 from the 36.
Yep.
Arakpo comes, and then a fifth rusher. Brady's in trouble. Rolling right, moving up, wrapped up, and down he goes outside the 30 at the 31-yard line. They brought the safety, Byard. Woodyard, the linebacker, got there as well.
This is unbelievable.
The second half begins just as the first half ended with a sack of Brady.
Brable knows how to get to him. He's done it before. They've done it in Houston. Nowhere to step, nowhere to go. Brady loves sliding up in the pocket.
They are just chasing. Man, it's just, that is a horrible way to start this half.
All of a sudden, they suck against the blitz. That's overnight. How do you go from best to the worst? And again, Brady's explanation yesterday has me just saying, what, on one little comment? Here's Tom Brady asked about that stat, last in the league against the blitz.
Well, anytime you're last in the league in anything, that's probably not very good. I haven't studied that as much. I mean, I think if they blitz, it gives us great opportunities to make.
You haven't studied that as much?
That's a lie.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, he knows they're not doing well against the blitz.
I mean, I hope it's a lie. Is it possible he just Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, he might not know the specific number and where they rank, but he knows that when teams blitz them, they're done.
He says, I haven't stuffed that much. He just got pounded. He had lowest quarterback rating or completion percentage in 7 years or whatever, blah, blah, blah. They just lost by 20-something points. We haven't really looked at it.
Yeah, I think he's deflecting. And it's one of two things, and maybe it's both. It's either that he knows that if he says something, he's going to end up throwing a teammate under the bus, like we're not making good reads or something. You know, guys aren't going to the right places. Or he's deflecting criticism from himself. Again, remember, all the pieces have changed except him.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of buy Mike's theory that maybe he really doesn't know what the hell it is because he's not putting in as much effort.
I mean, I'm asking.
I know, is that maybe
his attitude there is very casual.
Well, I thought it was post game because I was at it, but I've since obviously heard the audio since we've gone through it, and he seems real cavalier. Whereas after losses, including the first one where they get their ass kicked by Kansas City last year, he's red assed. He's saying stuff that was way out of character. This year, it's like whatever.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it.
I don't know.
Haven't looked at it?
I haven't studied that as much.
What?
He's got to see his third showing of Hamilton.
So that's like, that one caught me in my tracks. That he says that, and just that, that's not, Tom Brady usually grinds it out and knows everything and looks at everything. And anyway, just finish the answer, Jimmy.
I haven't studied that as much. I mean, I think if they blitz, it gives us great opportunities to make plays. If we're not doing that, then we got to figure out how to do it. I think if you rush three or four or five, I mean, there's going to be opportunities, really, in any case. It's just what you do with the opportunities. So hopefully we can figure that out, get out of the basement, and move our way up.
Okay. I just think that thing, I haven't studied that as much. That's the line that stood out to me. What, since when? Since when don't you study that? You're supposed to study that, especially you. Mike in the RV. Go ahead, Mike. Michael.
Hi, fellas.
Hi.
Yeah. I had a thought about the Tennessee game I'd like to share. When I was watching the game, the first quarter really took me back to the first quarter of the Kansas City game last year. In both cases, you know, the Patriots were heavily favored. Talk of 16-0 last year. This year, won seven straight, including against, some really strong teams, an undefeated team. And somewhere in the first quarter, I think they took the teams too lightly, and the other team said, I think we can win this one.
No question, Mike. They weren't ready to play in Tennessee. And that's been a theme. That's a theme. Kevin Duffy in the Boston Herald wrote this today, that in the 3 years prior to this, 2015 to 2017, in those three seasons, the Patriots faced double-digit deficits in the first half only three times in the regular season. Only three times were they down 10 points or more in the first half. Three times in 3 years. One of those was the Jacoby Brissett game. The other two were at the Jets both, and they won both. Okay, so only three times in 3 years. This time? Now? They've done it four times this year alone. After doing three in only 3 years, four times they found themselves trailing by 10 points or more in the first half. They went down 21-3 at Jacksonville, 13-0 at Detroit, and then I ripped my newspaper and I dropped the number. I think they were down 17-7 at Chicago.
Correct. I was just going to say that.
17-7, yeah. And most recently 17-3 at Tennessee. So in four games, all on the road to boot, they weren't ready to go.
Yeah, to me that's a road thing.
That's just a... another sign that this team is different.
It is. They just don't have, some of this, I think, is players. Okay, like, I don't know how many times it has to happen before you figure it out. The team's mentally soft. Now, can it change?
Or
I don't know.
Not ready to go.
I know, but is that a Bill thing?
I don't know. How can they not be? Yes, he's sure the coach is partly responsible for how the team comes out of the gate. No question about it, don't you think?
In part.
Yeah, in part. Yes, in part.
Some of it, I think, is your players. I mean, again, Bill Belichick does not get a team ready.
Oh, he knows how. Is he doing it? Of course he knows how.
No, so I see where you're going. He can't get through to this group.
I mean, I don't know.
He couldn't get through to him in 09.
I mean, any other team that comes out and falls behind early every game, you would look at the coach. Whatever the sport, whatever the team. So, I know Bill's not exempt from that. Although Dan and Quincy would like to make him exempt. Go ahead, Daniel.
Tony, I took your advice. I waited until all the air was blown out of my orifice before I called you back.
Good.
So, I stand by what I said, though. You think, you know, you said Aaron Rodgers wasn't in Brady's class, and you agreed with Felger. And
Danny, why did you call today?
Thank you.
Okay.
And before you speak, just give it an extra blow to make sure all the air comes out of every orifice.
I can see. I'm trying to make light of it, Tony. I'm trying to have a little fun with you, but I can see you still steam, which is good. I'm glad I got you mad.
No, that's I'm not fine. Steamed about anything. I just want you to get to the point.
You just sound it. But that's all right. Before I get to, you have to go ask Tom comment and why you'd be so surprised about that. I don't know why, but the standings fell, guy. I mean, last year they were identical with the Steelers. They lost. They won the head-to-head. So are we talking about the division or are you talking about the conference?
Well, no, but that was for the one seed, Danny. They've never been like this just to get out of wild card weekend. That was for the one.
No, but the conference really is the division. I mean, from day one, I look and see all the AFC teams. I line them up and see who won and who lost.
No, I mean, like I said before, that they've been close one versus two. That's been a horse race in past years. The last time they had to fight and claw just to get the two, to get out of the wild card, it's been about 9-10 years since that was the case, Dan.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, there's still ways to go.
There is.
But you have to go ask Tom, why are you surprised at that statement? I mean, this is Brady's offense. All right, now Belichick is saying, hey, you got your Johnny Olam Meshins, your boy, what's his name, McDaniels, the offensive coordinator, and Brady, they run the offense. It's their offense. I mean, and Belichick is saying, hey, you can't be coached. Tom, you don't want to listen to me being coached. Why are you surprised at that?
Okay.
This is all, the offense is on Brady, and that's it. And
it's true, just like secondary plays on the secondary. I've never heard him say, go ask Devin. And offensive line play is on all the offensive line guys. I've never heard him say, go ask David, as in David Andrews, the center. Bill, you allowed a lot of middle pressure in that game. There were guys getting through the A-gap. Can you talk about that? Yeah, go ask David. Never heard him say that.
Because he doesn't. Like, I'll tell you, that third and four play to Gordon, go watch it. Like, he makes that read pre-snap and then just decides he's going to Josh Gordon on that play. Do you think Belichick might say to him, Tom, just take another look. See if there's something else that might open up other than Josh Gordon down the field on third and four. Oh, and by the way, the throw was garbage on top of it, or Gordon ran the wrong route, or I don't know, both. Or both. Whatever it is, it's not working right. So that's the one you picked? To me, Belichick absolutely was laying some of that on Brady.
Okay, the difference in Tom Brady, the self-admitted differences in Tom Brady. He admitted to them in the offseason. We all saw them. It's not even debatable because he admitted to them. He admitted to them that he was doing things differently last offseason and that it was important for him to do things differently last offseason. Has it continued into the regular season? That's what I'm curious about. Is the difference in approach just a May thing? Or is that a thing? And is that carried into the regular season? I want to pick this up after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Want to do more picking apart of Brady's press conference yesterday?
Would I say no?
More reading into it? Again, I think the biggest difference with Brady this year versus last is what he's put into it, which is less. He put in less to it, and so he's getting less out of it. Simple physics. Most elementary, basic reason, and I think that's what's going on with Brady. He's not done, and if he went back to the way he used to handle it, which is maniacally, he'd be better. And I think that could happen next year. Could happen at any time. But it wasn't just the offseason. Or I wonder if it was just the offseason. Because clearly it's the offseason. He admitted to it. He showed us. He admitted to it. He embraced it. He put in less in the offseason. Fact, not even debatable. Put less into it. By his own admission. But if he's really changing things, Maz, Would that stop in July when they report to camp? Wouldn't that sort of extend the whole his whole life?
Maybe.
I mean, this. I keep asking this. I'm waiting for someone to ask Bill this. If no one asks Bill this in the next couple weeks, I'm going to have to jump on one of those conference calls. I haven't done that in 15 years.
Well, that'll go over well.
I'm not telling you I get the answer, but the question, I just want the question asked. But next time Zoe goes down there, can Zoe ask Brady? We could ask Brady or Bill. I'll ask Brady. We could go down for one of those press conferences and ask him.
God, I think I actually have audio of the last time you were on a conference call.
Is it possible to have a collapsed lung for a short period of time and then have it not collapse?
So this is why I don't do conference calls. That was Drew Bledsoe, 2001. 17 years ago.
Is it possible to have a collapsed lung for a short period of time and then have it not collapse?
17 years ago.
You're saying it with a smirk, too. You can just hear it.
What, when I asked that?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was a serious question. I was dead serious about that.
He was young then, Mark.
I wasn't a wise guy. No, I was a beat guy trying to get an answer.
Yeah. I wish I had the actual answer.
Tell them what Mannix said.
Yeah, so Mannix is on the... Kevin Mannix is on the line. And before Bill... Because Bill's like... he doesn't know why. How do you possibly answer that question? Mannix pipes in and says, yeah, he stopped at the Texaco and had it pumped back up. That was 17 years ago. So... Do Brady and Bill still have their Tuesday night confab? Their one-on-one meeting Tuesday night. Do they still do that? And I'm curious if Brady believes that's important anymore. Because he doesn't believe the stuff in March is important anymore. And he doesn't believe the stuff in April is important anymore. He only thinks what's important is that mandatory thing the first weekend in June. So, and he gave another indication of this now yesterday. Okay, how's he handling the bye week? And so, Jimmy, skip the footwork thing and just go on his bye week routine. He was asked yesterday about his bye week routine. Here's what he said.
I think it's just gotten more and more efficient. I think like anyone who's been in their job for a long time, you kind of know what to do, and you know what works, and you know what doesn't work. And that's the benefit of experience. So you don't have to waste too much time doing things that you know won't pay off. Could be physical things, could be mental things, could be personal relationship things that you got to work at. But, you know, all those things are important.
How has your bye week routine changed? It's gotten more efficient. What is that? Can we put that through the Felger Mass processor?
Yeah, it means I spend less time on football stuff because it's really not worth it.
Yeah, you know what works and what doesn't. You know what is worth your time and what isn't. So what do you think that is?
You know,
7 days in a week, they get a week off, 2 days for work, 5 days for family, or screwing around now, where it used to be the complete opposite, or 6 days for actual work and 1 day for family.
I mean,
it's more efficient now. I just squeeze everything in 2 days.
More efficient.
Yeah, listen, I think the path you're on, I don't want to sound like your school teacher, but I think you're on a good line of thought.
Thank you.
Which is real. No, I mean, I'm not
Gold
joking.
Gold star.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You'll get extra credit for that one, Mike. You will. You're very well done.
Come on, go.
No cleaning the erasers.
Go ahead.
It's logical to assume you don't get to this stage of life and say, you know what, I can't go crazy like this anymore. I just can't do it. I get too many other things going on in my life. And then all of a sudden get to the season and turn it right back on again. You don't. So when he says, I would think that he has taken that, take that one statement, that it's gotten more efficient.
That means you're spending less time on it.
The benefit of experience is you know what to cut out. So he's still cutting stuff out. Of course he's cutting stuff out. Who wouldn't?
Could be physical things, could be mental things, could be personal relationship things that you've got to work at. So, but the thing has gotten more, it's gotten more efficient. It's like, it's gotten more efficient. That means you spend less time on it.
So yeah, you're squeezing stuff into just less days. That's what it sounds like to me. So, if we're using the Felger and Maz translator, that's what I'm going with.
So, that's how I read it, Murray.
Less stuff and less days.
And I'm just, you know, if he took this approach in the offseason, why does it stop July 27th? So he becomes less of a nut in the offseason, spends more family time in the offseason, less football time in the offseason. Then he gets to July 27 and turns right back into the maniacal 24/7 football guy. I don't know if it works like that. I think he's made some life decisions, which means life. Doesn't mean April's different than July. So I still wonder if he's putting less time. Is it? Does he meet with Bill every week? I want to know that. To the point, don't make me come down there, please.
I mean, what?
Or get on the phone. I don't want to.
Why does he have to do all that extra stuff anymore? I mean, what are the consequences?
You mean there's no competition for him?
I also mean that the owners clearly backed him, So it feels like he's got a golden parachute.
So there was another comment where he's not. He says he doesn't study it too much. Again, the blitz thing. He says, I haven't studied that as much. He's told he's last in the league against the blitz. He says, I haven't studied that as much. Like, since when? Now the footwork thing. He's asked about his footwork, which has seemed a little off at times this year, right? Bedard's talked about he's put his front foot in the bucket. There's, you know, you see all these clips where his feet are pointing in different directions and his footwork doesn't feel quite as dialed in, as tight as it's been in the past. So he's asked about that. Listen to this answer.
Don't think about that too much.
What? What do you mean you don't think about that too much? You don't think about that too much? Since when do you not think about that? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Don't think about that too much. I know we put a lot of drills and we work at it in practice and so forth, and that's kind of what carries over to the game. So I study my mechanics every day. I feel like I'm pretty, I look like my normal self out there.
Okay, so that last line I'm better with. I study my mechanics every day.
That's, don't think about that too.
But you don't think about that too much. You don't, the biggest change, the reason Brady's career took back off, other than just the simple motivation of Garoppolo, is he really dedicated to pocket mobility, to movement in the pocket and his footwork in the pocket. And boy, when he's on, he's so good in the pocket, climbing the pocket, feeling the pressure, one little subtle move here or there. He's not a great runner, obviously, but his pocket mobility is just special. It has been. But that didn't come out of thin air. He didn't have that when he first got here. He worked his ass off on it. He was maniacal about it, and especially at the old age. After they drafted Garoppolo, he said, where do I improve? And that was an obvious spot. And he worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and was nuts about it and, you know, really was a huge part of his game. Now it's, I don't really think about that. I don't, there's a lot of I haven't thought about that too much out of Tom Brady in these questions. And you say it's not about the young guy pushing him. He was even asked about that. Who was it who had the guts to ask this question? Do you feel that you've been helped by having young quarterbacks behind you pushing you?
I want to know who asked this. This is a great question.
In the past, guess what his answer is? It's going to sound familiar.
I haven't thought about, you know, that.
He doesn't think about anything anymore.
But man, you bring up Hamilton, and he's got a whole lot to say about that.
Okay,
seen it three times, saw it in New York.
So hold on, I don't hold the Hamilton thing against him. By the way, he's being unfairly criticized for that. Why he gets to go to a show? And he's got a lot of money because he worked really hard to have a lot of money. So he gets to spend a lot of money and go to the show. That's his right. I don't hold that against him one bit. If he's skipping football stuff to go do that, that's fine. But it's a Tuesday night in the bye week. I think the Hamilton thing's a non-issue. But all the stuff he hasn't thought about, again, just in fairness, let's give the full answer. Do you feel you were pushed by young quarterbacks in the past? And is that different now?
I haven't thought about, you know, that particular subject. I've always said, you know, we always have quarterbacks. At one point I was young and I had some older guys, and now I got to be the older guy and there's some young guys, so I think there's always just a healthy balance.
Yeah. Look, when he says, I haven't thought about that as many times he does, I know you're saying maybe he's just not that dialed in.
I'm just, what's the attitude there?
Okay, but I just think that he's just deflecting questions he doesn't want to answer.
That's a total deflection. Well, of course you've always had backup quarterbacks and other quarterbacks, so you've been the young guy and you've been the old guy. It needed to be a more pointed question. I don't want to be telling anyone how to be doing their job down there, but are you worried, is it nice to not have to worry about losing your job to a specific quarterback? Say, I don't know, Jimmy Garoppolo?
Is there actually a benefit to having a guy behind you who's on the come?
I haven't thought about, you know, that particular subject.
How about, did Jimmy push you?
Yes, same thing. Is there a benefit to it? Is the benefit that, you know, it keeps you honest like it would any other human being? Because Bill clearly thought so. Again, I can't say this stat enough. I'm sorry. The last time they ranked this low in offensive passer rating, Belichick went out and drafted another quarterback. He went out and drafted Jimmy G. So, like, the now, again, I don't think it's all Brady, but I'm not leaving him off the list like some people are. God, you'd think in this day and age, you get to this stage, and the offense goes bad, and there are people that will make every excuse out there for this guy just because of what he's accomplished in the past. If you're going to come back and you're going to play, you still have to perform.
Okay, so there's all the sound we could muster from that press conference yesterday. That's what happens when you lose going into the bye. The Felger and Maz processor?
Brought to you by Intel.
Plugged in and on high. So that's how we read all that stuff at the press conference. I promise your phones right after this in our long commercial-free segment.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub. The
Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
All right, as promised, your phones. We're going to do a little Celtics, Bruins, Mookie Betts hour coming up at 4. So we got to zip through these as quickly as we can. Joe in Kingston, what do you got first on Josh Gordon?
Hey, Felga, how are you? First time, long time.
Welcome.
I just want to say, I hate how everybody's going against Tom Brady. He's 41 years old. I'm 39 years old, and getting out of bed sometimes hurts me. But anyways, I want to say, if you remember back in Hard Knocks, when Jarvis Landry freaked out on the Cleveland Browns locker room, you remember that?
Yeah, of course.
So maybe, do you think that he was like yelling at Josh Gordon? Because
yes.
He was on the team at that time.
Of course. I don't know if Gordon was in the room or in camp at the time, but Gordon, notorious, out-to-lunch kind of player on a day-to-day basis. And I heard Zoe talking today about Gordon's confidence in the offense. You listened to Brady's press conference yesterday. He's talking about guys need to be more confident and effort and our practice level. And I think he's talking about Gordon. I think he's talking about Gordon's confidence in the offense. Effort level is always a question with that guy. And apparently, just again, reading between the lines with Brady, they're not practicing well. Or they've had so many guys in and out that they can't get it at practice. Which, you know, I think that's happened in the past too.
So how confident are you that all of a sudden Josh Gordon's going to become the most confident guy in the field?
I have no confidence in Josh Gordon. None.
I mean, how could you?
None. I never have.
And I'll tell you what, the other thing, I suppose it could just click some week. But how long does it take some guys to learn this offense? Some guys never learn it at all. And based on what we saw this past weekend, does it look like he's getting close?
Four catches on 12 targets? No.
Again, that play down in the end zone. I can't watch that play enough. Brady throws the ball. It lands at the 2.5-yard line. When it does, Gordon's on his back, on the back line of the end zone. He's 15 yards away from where the ball is. Like, that's a joke.
Pete in Delaware, go.
Hey, Mike, I agree with you. Ever since Garoppolo was traded, the attitude changed. And I remember that Jacksonville game right before the playoffs when he had an injury and he was questioning whether he could play or not. And there's no way in hell that would ever have happened with Garoppolo here. And it's just gone down since. He's just not as motivated.
Garoppolo trade, Super Bowl loss. He had to fight for some money again. I don't know. The Seth Wickersham piece, which was a Tom Brady hit job like you read about. And felt like a lot of it came from Belichick's camp. Never mind going back to Deflategate. You have to go ask Tom how he likes the condition of his balls. Like, there's, I think, been a lot of things that have added up where Brady's sort of had enough. And you can't blame him. I just don't think it's helped him as a football player or has helped the team.
I mean, the Garoppolo thing's the big one. The job is now his as long as he wants it. Yeah, we have, you know, ownership basically saying as much of one of the Super Bowls. Tom Brady gets to decide when he walks away.
Rich in the car, hi.
All right, guys, so go to the Super Bowl. You have to feel like if you're Tom Brady that the personnel decisions that Bill made affected the outcome of that game. You got Josh McDaniels comes back, blows off the Colts. There's been a lot of speculation about this being Bill's last year. He tried to trade away Gronk. He traded away the rest of his trusted weapons. He was still fighting over the whole Guerrero thing, and then this being Bill's possible last year, why are you going to try? Wouldn't it be the best middle finger to just have a half-ass season and say, all right, go out on a low note?
So I don't see, again, now you're talking about personally or purposely sabotaging games and seasons. You haven't heard me say that. I don't believe that. I don't believe Bill sabotaged a Super Bowl. I don't believe Brady sabotaging games personally to give Bill a middle finger. He wants to win the games. But does he want to do all the little grindy day-to-day things that he's always done in his career? That obviously is not. He does not want to do that. Can he still win at a high level without doing them? I don't know. We'll have to find out. I don't think it looks great. I think for Brady, he has to do those things.
Yeah, there's nothing deliberate about it. The question is what? See, people misinterpret it and say he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to do it as much as he used to.
As much.
Yes, the effect over time has worn him down a little. So when I say over time, Bill, Guerrero, all of it, all of it.
Oh, I left out the Guerrero thing, yes.
Like all of it. It's worn him down to the point where he just says, I'm only giving you so much now. And what Bill could always hold over his head before was, all right, fine, then I'll play someone else. Now he can't do that. There's just, I don't want to put it this way because I think Brady has held self accountable better than any athlete who's accomplished what he's accomplished, save for Jordan. Like, his ability to continue to drive and push himself off the charts. But I don't think he's really held accountable anymore. No matter what he does, he's going to keep playing.
Frank in Rhode Island, your thoughts? Frankie! Okay, yeah. Babe, you know the oop. A little slow on the upkeep. Call us back. You know the number. Billy in Rhode Island. Hi, Bill. What do you got for us today here on Felger and Maserati?
Off the charts.
Billy!
Hello? I'm on the line. Sorry about that. let me take another approach to this thing. We know this, but I got to go back to what Kraft said to Belichick a long time ago when they won their fifth ring. The guy goes to a party where they had that party and everybody's getting their rings, and he says to him, "This isn't going to last forever." And I just remember that statement to say to a guy that you're up on the top of the hill. And you just say that statement. Here's what my theory is. They didn't replace the guys they got rid of. They went into the season trying to plug holes. They'd get one guy here and there, one guy here and there for receivers. This Hogan guy can't get open. You got Edelman getting killed out there. The new guy, he's been there 2 months, granted, but still, he isn't in the nucleus of what they've been
Billy,
doing for years.
So you think it's all the pieces surrounding Brady is the issue?
I definitely not, and here's what I'll say about Brady. He might have caused it all, because he went to see Kraft and talked to Kraft about the backup quarterback, and that's where they went. They rolled with what they had rather than build a team. That's the way I feel what happened on this situation.
Okay, I got you, Billy. I think we can definitely say there's some things around Brady have hurt him. No doubt about it. My point is, you could say that every year, with the exception of like 07, or, you know, there's been a few years where it's all been there for him. What was 14, he had Gronkowski and Edelman all the way through the Super Bowl?
Yes, yeah. That was the year they beat Seattle. They had everybody.
So again, in 07.
That's,
you know,
a rarity, yeah.
Right, in 14. But usually, the way it's looked here is that either Gronkowski's out or Edelman's out. Or they lose a couple receivers and they don't really replace them. Or, you know, Welker's gone and Amendola's in. And Amendola is hurt half the year. And the offensive line's a mess until Dante Scarnecchia figures it out at the end of the year. And Gronkowski's hurt again. Like, I feel like all these things are pretty standard. I don't think that the situation around Brady is much worse than it's been in other years. Maybe some things are worse, some things are better, but it's not. He's dealt with a lot worse than this. He's dealt with things like this almost every single year.
You know, one of the tells for me is him and Edelman. That still is not
the,
right.
The numbers, like 9 catches on 12 targets, but did it feel like...
No.
Why? How come it didn't feel like bread and
like
butter?
Like it usually does.
Drive starter, third down. This is what we do. I don't
automatic.
Know. Yeah, why?
I don't know. And I would say that that's generally been true all year. He and Edelman have not, the whole slot receiver connection with Brady hasn't been there all year. I mean, a little.
Like it has in the past.
Right. Like it has been in the past. Edelman's first game, I thought, okay, there it is. Like, and maybe that was a result of just not having seen him for 4 weeks. Now here he comes, and now there's that element in their offense again. And it really is. It's what their offense is built on, for crying out loud. That's the core of it. And it hasn't really felt the same since that first week.
Next hour, Celtics thought, Bruins thought, Mookie Betts for MVP thought. You want to weigh in on those items? Join us at 617-779-0985. We'll continue to mix in your Patriots thoughts, as always, here on your home of the Patriots. In the meantime, quick update from Murray. 90 seconds, no commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.